Here we go, lovers of broadcasting. This is News Talk Tonight. I'm Jim Richards. Representative George Santos skipped a White House reception for new members of Congress. Apparently told reporters he was too busy practicing. Of course, he says he's the starting linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. Marjorie Taylor Greene says she would love to be Donald Trump's running mate. You're not the only one. So would comedy writers around the world. And finally, John Williams, congratulations, receiving his 53rd Oscar nomination. Man, I don't get it. John Williams pulls out his stick and waves it around and he's a hero. But Louis C.K. does it and he's a pervert. I'm Jim Richards.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
A lot of blowback on that one at 7:10:10, and rightfully so. Man, sometimes, Andrew, I shouldn't read those jokes that you write. Oh, man. Andrew. He's the technical director and responsible for all of the controversial things that I say. Andrew, of course, who's new here. We were talking and have been talking about I really got a kick is the wrong word. Elise Mills from Vancouver said she can't get that moved over what's going on in Toronto because in Vancouver, it's been way worse than that for a good long time. And she says, if you don't do something, Toronto's going to turn into Vancouver. You know, we all think of Vancouver as this very quaint place, but clearly it has a drug problem. It attracts people from right across the country because of its weather. And she says what we're dealing with right now is nothing compared to what they're dealing with. So what happened in Toronto today? Well, there's been more stories, but basically the mayor of Toronto makes an announcement.
I know many people who use the TTC. The passengers are anxious and even scared. And they must know that we are doing everything we can that will be helpful to address their concerns and to make sure everyone remains safe and feel that their security concerns are being addressed, knowing that there is more to do.
So the other thing that I would say, and it sounded like he was trying to pass the buck earlier this week when he said, well, what's the province doing about this? The Minister for Mental Health and Addictions, I know that our morning show on the iHeart Talk Radio Network was trying to get him on the other day. He didn't have time to come in on the radio in Toronto where there appears to be a crisis, but he did have time to go on the air in London, Ontario. And I don't know that they've got the same situation there, but he just wanted to talk on Bellette's Talk Day about all of the great things that they're doing, which politicians are really good at. You do a radio show and they'll go out of their way and say, hey, can we talk about this new thing that we're doing? But when they're in it and in it deep, they don't want to talk about anything. So that is curious to me. And hopefully we can hear from the province on what they might do, because I do think mental health is a bit of a problem here. Here is the chief in Toronto about what they are going to do on the TTC.
Our plan aims to have upwards of 80 police officers in place throughout the city's transit locations every day. These deployments will focus on reducing victimization, preventing crimes of opportunity, and enhancing public safety.
I think that they had to do something, and I don't really want to criticize this, but I do think it's just going to be window dressing given people who have mental health problems, we know from stories in the past, aren't really deterred by a badge. So we thought we would talk to our friend Chris Lewis, who earlier today I called Carl Lewis. I'm sure they both get confused quite often, but Chris Lewis is the former commissioner of the OPP. Chris, thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Jim. And I've been called Carl before, actually, by Premier McGuinty, who introduced me at an event once as his good friend, Commissioner Carl Lewis.
Oh, that's really funny. Have you ever fought Sylvester Stallone?
No, absolutely not.
I've got the right guy, right? That's Carl Lewis?
Well, I think that was Carl somebody. I don't think it was Lewis. The Carl Lewis was a big, tall sprinter
oh, you're
in
right.
the U.S. Olympic team.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay, I got the wrong guy. What what do you think of, because the tragic story of the 89-year-old woman who was kind of pushed by the individual and died, that didn't happen on the TTC. So with mentally ill people being a problem on the TTC, do police and their presence change anything or just make people feel more comfortable?
Well, I think it will change something. I mean, even people who are suffering from mental health are probably less likely, unless they just want to get caught, of doing it in front of police. Will it totally stop it? Absolutely not. But it certainly will. It should have a positive impact. And certainly people that are nervous and afraid to travel will feel better when there's visible police in the area. It's the age-old argument, how many cops can you put in a line before ultimately, you know, you can stop something and you could go on forever trying to, and you're never going to totally stop it, but it's going to have an impact, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. And it looks like most of these police officers are going to be offered overtime to do this. So I honestly, if you get these people, again, small number of unhoused people who might have a mental health crisis at that time, if you get them off transit, I'm not sure how that solves a problem, if we do have a problem with them being violent, because as we said earlier, some of these interactions have just been on city streets.
You're right on the money. I mean, really, it's like crime problems. You drive the crime out of a community, they often start taking root in another community. So if you're suffering from mental health issues, and obviously some of these people are, and that's, you know, behind it all, does that mean if they're not doing it in front of the cop in the subway that they're not going to do it on the street in Toronto? For sure. I mean, this whole mental health problem requires a real serious strategy. But in the meantime, trying to put cops out there to prevent some of it is really the only option the police have.
What kind of training?
It's bigger than the police.
We know that there's been a focus on the training that police are having for interacting with people who are mentally ill. And I have to say that for the most part, I think they do a fantastic job. We all freak out about the ones and twos of stories when things go sideways. But think of all the interactions that police have on a daily basis, coast to coast across this country, where there aren't those stories. So what is, do you know what that training is like, Chris?
Well, I know there was a time there was none. Really, not a lot, very like some awareness. But over the years, it has increased, and it's being able to identify people that may be suffering from a mental health issue and a danger to themselves or someone else. And then it's how to approach and talk to people. And, you know, you hear about kind of de-escalation and talking to folks in a way that's not going to further agitate them in order that you can try and steer them into some help mechanism of some sort. You know, as opposed to just, okay, get out of the way here, we're handcuffing you and hauling you off. That hasn't worked very well. So let's try and talk people into getting help and, you know, get them to get in the car voluntarily and go to a facility voluntarily, as opposed to having to get into a big lock them down, drag them out, fight.
Yeah.
And people get hurt that way.
I guess my point is that you can put all the police you want on the TTC. It's not going to stop that violence if this is more than a blip, unless there is more help to outreach to these people with mental health solutions.
Right on, Jim. And you and I talked about it, I think, last week, that those mental health services and agencies have been cut and cut and cut over the last 20 years. And as a result, there's not a many of those folks out when, in fact, the need for mental health supports are greater than they've ever been.
Yeah. Chris, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Jim. Thank you.
That is Chris. Don't call me Carl Lewis. I was going to say bigger people than me have called him Carl Lewis. But I just decided that Dalton McGuinty is not a bigger person than I am. There's not a chance. So I rescind. I take that back, that bigger people than me have made that mistake. I'm backing up and I'm rescinding that. Let's get your phone calls on what should be done with this perceived problem with homeless people who perhaps are mentally ill on the streets of, it could be Ottawa, it could be Montreal, it could be Toronto. 1-855-633-1010. Your call is next.
This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
It is true. I am the aforementioned Jim Richards. Phone lines are open right now as we speak. That's right, folks. It's always an event when we go to the calls, as we are going to them right now.
Callers, callers, oh, the excitement. Callers, callers,
calm down.
Callers,
calm down, guys.
Callers.
Calm down. All right. Oh, man. The excitement of callers at 1-855-633-1010, 1-855-633-1010, and your thoughts. Again, I've called out the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions, and I'm getting a lot of people saying, well, this is a problem that's not particular to Toronto. It's something that's happening in every city. That might be very true, but why not go on the radio in Toronto if you're asked? If the perception is things are worse in Toronto, come on with your facts and say, no, that is not true. But apparently they're too afraid, or they want the perception that it's not their problem. It's Toronto's problem, but I do think it's the province's problem as well. But what are your thoughts on what could be done? Phone lines are going to be open right now at 1-855-633-1010, 1-855-633-1010. And do you feel safe taking public transit?
Our plan aims to have upwards of 80 police officers in place throughout the city's transit locations every day. These deployments will focus on reducing victimization, preventing crimes of opportunity, and enhancing public safety. Given this, our deployments will be dynamic and may change from day to day. However, our officers will be on, in, and around the transit system across the city throughout the day and late into the evening, each and every day.
They have in many cities that are as big as Toronto. I know they have it in San Francisco. They have transit police. They clearly have it in New York City. Do we need dedicated transit police here in the city of Toronto? I know we have these special constables. I'm not sure what the hell they do. I think they have a little more power than a security guard, but not much. 1-855-633-1010. What are your thoughts on what should be done? Here is Sarah. Sarah, you're driving right now. Do you usually take transit?
My daughter does.
Yeah.
She goes to Ryerson, so yeah, she takes it. And I actually purchased her bear spray. Keep it in her pocket.
I don't know that that's a bad idea.
Yeah, no, but what I was telling your screener, like, I'm all for adding more, you know, police officers and having them have a presence. But I think we have to also, like, let's figure out, like, the root of it all. And for myself, this is what I believe is people have been put in the last, I would say, even 5 years. And I'll say I want to blame politicians because of a lot of their policies. They have created a country where they're desperate. They're desperate to own a home, to buy groceries, to keep a job. I think that all stems from desperation. So, you know, we see maybe a lot of homelessness and a lot of carjacking and a lot of this, and it stems from bad policy. And when you have nothing, you know, you get into sort of like mental health starts to kick in, either depression and losing your family, your jobs. And I think it all stems from that, too. I think politicians have to be held more in account for maybe creating this increase of violence and of mental health because of bad policies that were put in, right? When people are in poverty, when people are sort of at their wit's end or whatever, like, they lash out in many different ways.
Yep.
Like, we've even seen, like, you know, carjacking. Remember, like, no one could buy a car, right? Because we didn't, you know, supply chains because of COVID. But it's not just COVID. It was just bad policies in terms of, you know, I don't know if I'm explaining myself.
I think that people who are otherwise not mentally ill, if they are in crisis and have been unhoused for a while, I can see where they would deteriorate and be perhaps at a place where they would have a crisis that could result in something that would otherwise not be part of who they actually are. I think you're probably right. So I mean, I don't definitively know that, but I think that it does make sense. But I do think a lot of the people that we're seeing who might be pushed to violence are people who are mentally ill and can't function in the best of times, and society has kind of left them behind.
Oh, absolutely. I just want to know why now we're hearing about it at such a degree that we never heard before, and it's concerning. Like I said, because I have a teenage daughter that has to go to school, and it's a scary place now for her to be on public, and that she has no other means to get down there, right?
I'd love to hear from people who, because I take the streetcar in Toronto every single day, and I would say 4 to 5 times going home on the streetcar at 11:30 at night, there is somebody who is unwell, probably not violent, but getting in the face of people, and people are pretty kind of concerned about their environment, and they're not sure what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And I know as a young woman, I will tell you 100% that is her fear. And she kind of has her own little thing. She doesn't have her AirPods in her ear, and she's constantly looking around, making sure to sort of blend in. Like, she does not want to stand out because she does not want to get the attention of anybody that could be, you know, unhinged or whatever it is.
Sarah,
it's scary.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate that. 416, that's not true. I was about to give the Toronto line, and well, we have a Toronto line, but we mostly go with the 1-855-633-1010. 1-855-633-1010. I wonder how many people think, and I know when I've talked to people who advocate for people who are unhoused, they say that this is a media-created frenzy. And I'm not sure that it's not. I don't know the correct answer to that. I feel that a lot of people are maybe not super excited about talking about it, but I've given this example before. There was a story in the news the other day that said, hey, this person was chasing people around with a syringe. But in the summertime, I called 911. I was concerned about a person who was mentally ill chasing somebody around with a syringe. I called 911 and said that this person is chasing people into traffic. One lady almost got hit by a car. Now the person with the syringe has decided to lay down in front of cars. And when I called 911, the reaction that I got was like, oh, that doesn't seem like a priority. And I was like, what, a lady chasing people around with a syringe isn't a priority? And she says, not right now. This had to be about 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the east end of Toronto. And that didn't make the news. It didn't even seem like it registered for them. But now, the story earlier this week made the news. So that's why I wonder if this is partially media created. And that only means to say that there have been one or two serious stories, but now everything that happens is raising a flag. And is that something that would normally be ignored? Because there was an 89-year-old woman who was pushed, and because a couple of other bad, really bad stories had happened as well. But some of this stuff is just kids who are swarming TTC operators. I don't know that that is par for the course. We'll find out in a couple of seconds' time when we talk to somebody who is a transit whisperer on what he feels is happening. But I'm not sure right now if it is really media created, or at least assisted, or if things are, as I say that with I do have concern, and I do have concern every single time I get on a streetcar for the people I'm on the streetcar with. But it's always been like that in my memory. That's not something new, so that's why I'm not sure. Straight ahead, we'll talk to somebody who is a transit whisperer here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. I'm Jim Richards.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
So true. Tony, who is the producer of the show, and Andrew is the technical director. I'm what they call the talent in the business. Yeah. The talent. That's what you're listening to right now, folks. You're listening to the talent on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
You're so talented, Jim.
Pardon me,
You're
producer?
So talented.
Thank
so
you.
So talented.
That's the way you should react. Thank you very much, producer.
So talented.
All right. And as well, technical director. No bowing. Sorry. No doing that. Not necessary. Not necessary at all. But Tony, the producer, we were talking about a certain guest. And he goes, oh, we go way back. I go way back with the guest. And I was like, I don't think you go back any further than anybody else goes with that guest. Why do you think that you know that? This is a really inside baseball right now. Tony, you do not know. People don't care about me arguing with Tony. Right now, what you're listening to on the radio is the talent arguing with the producer about someone they're not referring to and who knew that person longer. Let me narrow it down. It's a male. And I don't know that you have known that person any longer than anybody else at this radio station, Tony?
I think one person that doesn't work here anymore might have known him longer than me.
Okay. I just realized the talent made a mistake. The talent should not have brought this up because it is so boring and inside baseball that the talent should know better. And now I'm going to have to apologize to the people of Canada. The talent has made a mistake. If you would like to address some mistakes that I've made a lot of mistakes right out of the gate before the show even started. I called Chris Lewis, Carl Lewis, and I called, who's the lady who's the new Eminem spokesperson? What? Maya Rudolph? I called her Maya Angelou, who's dead. I'm pretty sure is dead. That's two mistakes right out of the gate.
But you're doing this on purpose to keep us all on our toes, right?
Yeah.
That's how talented you are.
That's exactly what the talent is doing. I wanted to talk about something that the TTC might have to deal with in the next little while. It is an announcement from a TTC employee who was trying to, one of the things that happened in Toronto, I think it was yesterday when there was a snowstorm, was that there was a shutdown of the subway. Now, unlike any other city our size in Toronto, you could have gotten off the subway and taken another subway route to wherever the hell you were going if this was a normal city, but it is not. It is a city of, I don't know, it's a city in 2023 that's stuck with 1970s subways. And what I mean is the footprint under the city. So the subway had to dump everybody out to the street where there is never going to be enough buses to take them in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a storm. Now, I got two things on this. Why can't businesses, I get it, you're trying to get everybody back at work, but you knew that there was going to be a snowstorm. Why couldn't you have told everybody who is working at home for the last 2 years, okay, snowstorm, you get to work from home today, and maybe there wouldn't have been thousands of people on the street, but maybe you don't think that's a solution. So anyway, people have to pour out into the streets of Toronto because the subway is down during rush hour. And one of the subway operators goes rogue and makes this announcement over the over the intercom where everybody is waiting to figure out why we are not moving. Sorry, that's what. That's what the intercom used to sound like on the TTC. Everybody would be like, "What the hell? What the hell's going on? I can't hear everything." We're under attack by Martians. That's seriously what the intercom on the TTC used to sound like. And you're everybody's like, what? What is going on? But now, because we have new subways, we have better audio. And one of the TTC operators went rogue and did this.
Subway service between Ossington Station and Kiel Station. If you'd like to voice your displeasure, you should probably call the mayor's office, John Tory. He's the one who's in charge here. So you should probably call him and let him know what you think about this. There is no subway service currently between Ossington and Kiel Station. If you head on upstairs, there's shuttle buses running. I do apologize for this inconvenience. I do apologize for the lack of communication from Transit Control. These guys really don't care what you guys are doing. So once again, folks, please voice your displeasure with the mayor's office.
Your displeasure with the mayor's office is what the guy was saying. We have Transit Whisperer Rocco with us right now. You're a former employee of the TTC, correct, Rocco?
Correct.
How are you doing, by the way?
Good, how are you? And you are the talent, by the
way. Thank you very much. Glad you noticed that. What are your thoughts on what that employee did? Because I'm guessing he'll be terminated.
Well, he may be terminated or, you know, suspended or have faced some sort of maybe letter to his file about inappropriate use of a communication system, something to that effect, unfortunately.
Is when a subway line is shut down, is that usually a suicide attempt or is that the mayor's fault?
Well, it could be one of anything. It could be just broke some sort of a problem with the rail, some sort of a suicide attempt or a suicide. It could be, you know, a number of things.
Have transit employees always been attacked by the riders, or is there an actual peak right now?
Oh, I think there is a peak right now. You know, and it's more prevalent now because of social media, because of the use of, you know, video. I mean, people downloading camera stuff onto their TikTok and things like that. Yeah, I do. And I think it's because of the lack of respect people have more so now and the ability to exploit that.
Do you feel that that's just because the normal public is tired of the system and they take their frustrations out on people who work on the front line? Or do you think that has to do with people who might be mentally ill?
No. I think it's more of a frustration with the system. If you see most of these recent upswing and attacks, it's been just regular transit users. And it's only going to get worse with the cuts that John Tory and Rick Leary have announced. The raise in fares, and so you figure I'm going to be paying more for something I'm getting less of, which was already underfunded to begin with.
What would you do about the fact that riders haven't come back post-pandemic and there's not enough money in the tills to run a system that's going to be emptier than it was?
Well, to be fair, Canada as a country, like from Justin Trudeau or whoever is in power at the time, has to come up with some sort of, say, national strategy for transit across this country. That would be the best thing to do, because this transit problem is more focused in Toronto because of our size. You know, we do carry the third most amount of people in North America, yet we're the most underfunded transit system in North America. How does that work?
How would you say in 30 seconds what the morale is of transit workers in Toronto now?
The lowest I've ever seen. Because it's the lack of respect. That's why a lot of these things are happening. Students are more apt to go after. If they're waiting longer, if they're paying more, you know, you see these people waiting in a snowstorm with no transit coming, and they're taking out their frustration because the first person they see is a person in their uniform.
Yeah.
And that person who was on the subway, he's probably faced a barrage of delays and being yelled at and screamed at like it's his fault personally. and he's just fed up, and he kind of lashed out a comment that I've even went back in the 80s and 90s when I drove. I've made comments like that, Pat. So if you have a problem with the system, contact your counselor,
yep.
Contact the mayor. No different than a cashier will say, I didn't put the price of chicken breast up. Go yep. Talk to Galen Weston.
Right, Rocco. Thank you very much for your insight. Really appreciate it. Rocco is a transit whisperer here in Toronto with his ear to the ground on how the employees feel. Straight ahead, more on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
We do a segment on Thursday. Today's Thursday, right? We're all enjoying a Thursday. What a great time we're having here with... you're having a great time. Andrew's the technical director of the show. Andrew, I've never seen you happier. It just seems like you're having one of the best times ever.
I'm having a great time. It's pretty funny today.
Oh, how do you address me normally, like off the air?
What do you mean?
Oh, man, when you see me in the hall, what do you say to me? You say hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Don't you? Do you say hi, how's it going?
Jim?
Nope. I mandate that you call me Talent.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has to call me Talent. The Talent. Yeah. Don't make that mistake again, Andrew. The Talent. I've got a couple of things here that I wanted to mention, but I also wanted to mention how as you can tell, guys, the Talent is a very laid back, chill person, and very few things irritate me. Is that true? Very few things irritate me? Well, okay, that's right. Okay, that's a good point, Tony. I laid into Tony yesterday because he's too social for me. Like, I'm against people being friendly and social. That was my complaint about Tony yesterday. And what did I do? How did I address that? I was very passive-aggressive, outing him on the radio, saying that he was a chatty Cathy, instead of just taking him aside in the workplace and saying, listen, Tony, I'm trying to work, and sometimes you don't realize that when I turn my back on you and I turn back to the computer screen, then it's over. The conversation's over and we don't need to talk any longer, and Tony's still talking. There's a nice way for me to go about doing that, but instead I threw him under the bus on the radio. So, okay, I get it. Do you think I really have a really short fuse? And because I wasn't mad about it, but I certainly could not have, I'm not a grown-up enough to address you to your face. It's like me and David Cooper yesterday talking about on the radio. We can talk about all of our problems, but to the people in our life that we should be addressing, like the women on our life, we couldn't sit down and be honest with them, but we can go on the radio hoping that they're not listening and talk about things how we feel. So hold on. Do you honestly think, both of you, that I am too nitpicky? Or why did you laugh, Tony, when I said I'm a very easygoing guy?
Oh, because it was funny in the moment to laugh. But all otherwise, right. You know what? We get along. I don't think you're difficult to
good.
Get along with.
No, the I'm Talent, that's the you. Answer the Talent wanted to hear. Do you feel the same way about the Talent, Andrew?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Good answers. I'm not sure what the answer is going to be when I'm not around, but I'm pretty sure that is the answer. But the one, like, what is the one noise? I'm going to open up the phone lines right now. It, like, outside of burping and passing gas, what is the one thing? What was the one noise that a human being can make that drives you crazy? 'Cause mine is. And I don't say anything about it either. But mine is, if you're eating soup or pho or ramen, I guess are all soups, right? I didn't need to go into the subclass of soups. If you're eating soup and you're a major slurper, it just drives me crazy. Do you have to slurp? I actually was watching a guy, there's a video that was made by a guy who was like, this is how you eat ramen. And he was slurping. And I was, I thought, no, can't you just pick up the bowl and can't you like drink out of the bowl? And you have to slurp? Slurpers, I mean, go to hell is what my point. 1-855-633-1010. I also have a friend who like just makes noise all the time because I guess as he's getting older, his body aches all the time and he's just going, oh, and I'm like, are you okay? He's like, oh, yeah, why? And I'm like, because I don't know, you sound like you're dying every time you move. Why would you think that I'm not doing well? Oh, are you like, did you get it playing hockey or nope, just aging? Well, maybe you need to stretch more or exercise more. Why would you say that? I don't know. No reason at all why I would say that. I just thought that, but at lunch today, I went for pho. Or pho. Somebody on the text board is angry that I called pho fa, fa pho. Sorry. Mistake by the talent. My friend was just eating their pho, fa, sorry. And they were slurping. And I was like, there's not a lot. Like, I can do this. There's not really that much reason to be slurping like that. You got that little spoon there that you can use. And you can use that for the broth, and there's no reason to be. Google, can you Google right now, Tony, if there's a top, if somebody's come up with the top noises that people, top noises that people make that people hate? Because I think slurping is number one. I got called out for a burp, a loud burp the other day, which wasn't a burp, it was a hiccup. And I couldn't hold the hiccup back. And somebody thought that I was burping, and they got up and they moved. And it didn't make me feel like a very good person. I felt like, okay, maybe I'm part of the problem. Is there a list online of top noises that people make that people hate? Can you find that? You found one, Andrew? What are the noises?
The worst sound is a knife scraping against a bottle.
Okay.
The second worst is a fork on a glass.
Yep, bad.
Chalk on a blackboard.
Yep, bad.
A ruler on a bottle.
Okay.
Nails on a blackboard.
Yep.
Number six, which is very controversial, is
slurping.
A female scream.
A female scream?
This is in Medical News Today.
Medical News Today with the latest. Thank you very much, Andrew, for that report. Are you getting conflicting reports on your search, Tony? No?
No, I just hate whistling in general.
Oh, whistling drives me crazy,
drives me
too.
Nuts.
Also, and I know I do this, people who need to drum along to some song, it just drives me nuts. Yeah, people who need to like, to drum along to a song.
Jimmy Carr's laugh?
That they don't know. Jimmy Carr's laugh? My laugh? I don't know Jimmy Carr's laugh. I know the comedian, the British comedian?
The British comedian.
Yeah. I can't imagine his laugh. I can't think of it. We should do best laughs. I will come up with. Oh man, that, I want to play that lady again. I love this lady. This is actually her laugh. Okay, so this is her laughing, and in the background you'll hear people laughing at her laugh. So she has the most annoying laugh in the world. Her laugh is just this sound, which sounds like it could be a car alarm, doesn't it not? But it's also my buzzer in trivia contests. And if you get the question right,
bing bing bong bong bing bing bing.
Yep. All right, there's a podcast for that is straight ahead.